6 o'clock on Dukes and Bell, the number one sports talk show in Atlanta for your ride home.
You strong? They said, I'm strong if you strong. I said, we strong then.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Big shout out to Alexi Lawless for stopping by in studio. I mean, he's in town for the game, obviously, this weekend. But he made his way to Dukes and Bell because he wanted to hang out and chop it up with us. And boy, did he ever.
And we really appreciate that because if you haven't been through Midtown lately, like, our building is a disaster area. So it kind of looks like Beirut while they're going through the remodel over here at Colony Square. So he was literally in the lobby. He goes on Twitter. He goes to Bo Borg. He goes, anybody in Atlanta, I'm in the lobby. So Squid Billy went and got him and got him up here. But real passionate. And I love the fact that a guy's got an opinion. He cares about the country, the national team, and as he said, though, man, this is no joke. Portland has not won a championship because they don't know what they're doing, and it might not be the style we want to see, but how do we combat that? It's got everybody who's hitting us up on Twitter and on our text line totally amped up for Saturday night.
And it should. We've been saying it. You know, it's not hyperbole. We're not just doing it to do it. It's a big deal, and I think a lot of people are interested in seeing us finish the deal. As he said, though, if you want that moniker of super team, you got to win the cup. Hey, coming up, you'll hear from Arthur Blank, guys, owner of our Atlanta United, who joined Mike and I a little bit earlier in the show today, and Arthur Blank kind of explaining how he found Darren Eales. It was pretty interesting stuff. I don't know if that story's been told a whole lot, so stay tuned for that coming up here in about 15 minutes. Right now, though, let's get to the top three.
Time for Dukes and Bell, top three. The top three stories of the day.
Can I count it off?
Let's start first with our Falcons guys. Julio did not practice today, Mike. And an update on Grady Jarrett, who also is nursing a little bit of an injury. But, guys, I think both of these guys will be ready to play on Sunday when it comes to playing the Packers.
He is practicing today. In terms of, like, his leadership and what he provides both on and off the field, he's the ideal teammate.
Grady Jarrett, of course, Dan Quinn talking about right there. Julio, as we said, I don't want to call it a rest day, Mike, but they limit him in practice. It's not unusual.
I know the D-Led tweeted out, so it had a few people hitting us up going, hey, is this a thing? You know, for fantasy owners or for Falcon fans, period. Look, as Carl laid it out, you give this guy time off. And if you've been following the Falcons since about week three, this has been the norm. It is one or 2 days or sometimes both where Julio gets a rest because of, you know, obviously the wear and tear. So I don't read too much into it. He has already said, and he's on record as saying, we're here to, you know, not play for pride. We're here to whip some blank when they're up in Green Bay.
Yeah, and I agree with that. As far as Matt Ryan, I want you to hear him talk about the issues on offense and what they come down to, because I think Julio and Matt have both stressed, you know, they got to sustain drives against Green Bay if they're going to be in this football game.
We've got to execute as players better than we have up until this point. We've got to extend some drives. We've got to get further into drives, you know, for us to kind of wear a defense down to be able to run it effectively.
I agree. And that we didn't do that last week.
Look,
we just didn't.
Matt's put up crazy numbers for much of the season without the benefit of any running game. And eventually it's going to catch up with you. And it has. You know, the Ravens just shut us down. That's when you really need your receivers to make the tough plays, which they didn't. But Green Bay, it's an average defense, not close to what we just saw last week. But you still got to get more than, you know, 15 carries for either Ito and Tevin Coleman, and you got to hope these guys get over 75 yards, man. Think about that. We're not even talking 100 yards with this O-line.
Yeah, that's got to change if they're going to have any success, especially in the passing game. It's about protecting, but you got to run the football.
And because they're trying to upgrade the O-line, whatever reason, Schrader was out of practice today, and Tyler Sombrello, second day he was in there. So I guess that means Sombrello, who we picked up from Denver, potentially could start at right guard. We've already moved in Zane Beatles. You know, this O-line is patchwork at best, guys. We're in third string and, you know, guys that we picked up off the scrap heap mode. But hopefully they can do a job protecting Matt.
Top three at six brought to you by Dixie Vodka, guys. It's football season and means tailgating. A true Southern tailgate isn't complete without Dixie Vodka. DixieVodka.com. It is made in America, raised in the South. Story number two, guys, is Georgia Tech football and where they may go. Temple's Jeff Collins, as sources are reporting, has emerged as the leading candidate at Georgia Tech. No offer has been made, but he was in Atlanta today to meet with Tech officials, and they've indicated that he's the favorite. A deal could happen as soon as tonight, and if you're wondering, Collins had two coaching stints at Georgia Tech and is a Georgia native. He was a graduate assistant at Tech from 99 to 2000 and a tight ends coach in 2001, Mike, and then he returned for one season in 2006 as player of personnel or player director of player personnel at Tech. So.
All right.
There you go.
I know that we want a style. I think all the Tech fans really want is a more fun style to watch. If you want to, we can argue and debate if you think a championship is attainable. Is it an ACC championship? Can you ever get to the national championship? At the very least, whatever you're trying to do, can we make it fun to watch to at least get people there in Bobby Dodd?
Either way, they could have an announcement as soon as tonight, maybe as early as tomorrow with Tech. And remember, they did already interview Ken Whisenhunt. Mm-hmm. So, and we found out earlier today, as we talked about on the show, and we hope you listen all 5 hours, big show, that Whisenhunt, you know, that the AD, Todd Stansberry, said, listen, we're going to talk to other people. We're not just talking to one or two guys. So this is the latest on Georgia Tech. As far as story number three, been talking a lot today about Atlanta United. We had on our goalie, Brad Guzan, who joined us earlier in the show. Brad talking about this experience. He talked about Joseph Martinez winning the MVP. But we just had on one of the most recognizable faces when it comes to soccer in the U.S., and that's Alexi Lawless, who had this to say about our club.
When I think about Atlanta United right now, they are the MLS super club. And when I say super club, I mean the club that as many people hate as love, but also the club that is put up there where everybody else is judged against.
Great stuff by Alexi Lawless.
Yeah, we were just talking to Bunker, who'll be working tonight, Andy. We were saying, you know, what Alexi was getting to is, you've got teams, like when Mike Conte goes on the road, you know, with Jason to call these games, there's some places where you have a normal press box like we have at Mercedes-Benz, and there's places where he's at a card table, you know, outside, you know, next to, like, the hot dog stand. You know, you got to get big time in some of these other cities. And one thing with Arthur's success and other teams, like, you know, seeing the LAFC come in, it forces other owners to get serious about this or get out of the business.
Yeah, and, you know, for years, if you've watched MLS or you've seen how this you know, league has developed in the United States, there really hasn't been a standard barrier, Mike. I really believe with the success we're having here, you're going to see other teams do more. And when teams come into the league, for example, when Miami and their expansion, they're going to do more than what we've seen other teams come in as an expansion team because they've seen what we can do in just two short seasons.
Right. I mean, it starts with call it funny guys, but in some cases, from the marketing standpoint, do you have a cool looking uniform? Well, we do.
It matters. It matters.
Miami is going with like a real Miami Vice thing with pink, white, and black because they'll be able to sell that stuff in hats and shirts.
Can't wait till Saturday, man. Hey, hit us up, guys, 404-741-0929. Again, top three at six brought to you by Dixie Vodka. You're going to get a chance to hear from our owner, Arthur Blank, coming up in just a little bit. Also today, we were talking about this, Mike, and the guys are hitting us up in regards to, and thank you for all the compliments on Alexi Lawless. They're still hitting us up. What a great interview. It wasn't us, guys. He's just responding to us.
Yeah, there's some guys that come in. Like, that's the way the Dickie V used to be. Remember Dick Vitale in his prime?
Of course I do.
Would come in spring-loaded and just be dropping all sorts of great stuff.
BTP, baby!
But we talked a lot about the College Football Awards tonight, by the way. The Home Depot College Football Awards originating down on Marietta Street at the College Football Hall of Fame. Heisman over the weekend. And while we're talking college football, and you know, now we got to wait for the playoffs, you see the comments of Greg Sankey? Everybody's been kind of making the case for UCF the last couple of weeks, right?
Yep.
And obviously they lost their starting quarterback. They're still able to win their championship. Well, the SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey Thursday says University of Central Florida should look inward to address the strength of schedule issues that have held the Knights in college football playoffs back. He says the Knights obviously need to kind of take care of their own house and stop making the argument that obviously you need a big place at the table if you're not playing a strong SOS.
Here's the problem, and listen, I hear Greg Sankey, but we saw this, Mike, as teams, you know, start to build their brands, whether it be Boise State, all right, go back through the history of college football over the last decade or two. When you start to build this brand, you get this reputation that, okay, that's a team that I don't want to play. It doesn't help me to play them. It hurts me if I lose against them. And if you play UCF and you're one of the Power Fives and you're going, all right, we'll go down there and play, you don't want to do a home-and-home with UCF right now. You just don't. So that is true, what he's saying. But the problem is you got a lot of these coaches in Power Fives who know that it's more detrimental to play them and lose than it is in a fact that if they win and everybody goes, well, you're supposed to beat UCF.
Well, that's the tough spot they're in. You're in a small market in a smaller conference. I mean, remember Boise State. Georgia schedules Boise State. You come in here, what do you get out of that? You get a loss and the whole season was coming off the rails. So the tough part is when you get to that level, I know it seems like a long, long time ago, Carl, FSU was at school in the mid-70s.
That's
with
right.
Bobby Bowden.
You're right.
And he started taking games in Nebraska and Oklahoma because, you know, you got to build that brand. Sankey says, look at basketball in the SEC. He goes, back in 15, he goes, 16, he goes, we had virtually no top 50 wins in men's basketball. So talk to the ADs and we got to start scheduling better. But you said, difficult when you're UCF because nobody wants to take on that kind of a team.
Yeah, I love the idea and all these coaches talking about it, or at least ADs or even the conference commissioners. At the end of the day, what good does it do Georgia? right? Just throwing it out there. To schedule UCF in the next 2 years if they continue to roll the way they have. Have they lost a game in the last 3 years? I don't think they have, right? It's 2 years, going on 2 years. You know, we're not scheduling those guys.
They got LSU coming up. I mean, for instance, like look at our buddy Ron Hunter. Take it back to basketball. What does Georgia Tech get? What does Josh Pastner get taking Georgia State into Alexander Memorial, I should say McCamish, and losing?
That's a bad look.
Right? Just it's Georgia, a bad look. Luckily, Georgia lost, but nobody was paying attention because everyone was focused on football, and the game was in the Bahamas.
Now, I asked you this the other day, and real quick, we just found this out, too. Ken Wisenhunt apparently removed his name from the Georgia Tech search.
Okay.
So he had an interview. They, you know, it's all nice and fun. And then he said, no, I'm not interested. So Wisenhunt removes his name. What if UCF wins, though? Again, what happens then? Because now you're talking about 2 years in a row, you've beaten top SEC opponents. Don't tell me about what Auburn didn't do. They had beaten Georgia and Alabama last year going into that bowl game.
What will they do? Well, they'll have a parade, and they can put up another sign that says national champion. And then they're going to have to wait about 7 or 8 years till we get an 8-team playoff because there's still no way UCF is getting in, beating up on the sisters of the poor. Now, look, they beat a Pitt team that played in the ACC championship. They have another SEC win on their resume. But ain't going to mean jack until they expand the playoff field.
All right, man. Coming up, Arthur Blank, the owner of R Atlanta United. Find out what he has to say about the upcoming championship and what he thinks about our club next. Right now, though, let's say hello and good afternoon to the owner of our Atlanta United, Arthur Blank, joining us. And, Arthur, it's good to have you back on the program. Last time we saw you, it was a sit-down down at Mercedes-Benz Stadium before the NFL season, and we asked you about Atlanta United, and you were so excited. Where's your excitement level now that we're playing for the MLS Cup?
Well, it's probably fivefold what it was then. I mean, we've had an incredible year, both on the pitch and, you know, in fan support, fan attendance. We hold records for the 7 most attended games in the history of Major League Soccer. And I think in our second year that we're not only in the playoffs but now playing for the Cup, I think is pretty incredible. It's a great tribute to our franchise, to the leaders in our franchise, to the coach and coaching staff and our players. And really, to the level of fan support has been unbelievable. And that makes a huge difference. Our home record is as good as it is for a lot of reasons. One of the major reasons is because the level of enthusiasm and energy and passion that our fans show whenever we're playing at home, as well as traveling.
Right.
They travel, too. So it's great.
The boss is with us here, guys, talking about United playing in the MLS Cup. To have the MVP, the runner-up for the MVP, and then to play in the championship in just the second year, it's amazing, Arthur. How did you find Darren Eales? Because you're always finding good people for all your businesses. How did you find him?
Yeah, well, that's a really good question. We used a search firm, and it was interesting. When we used the search firm, we made it clear to them, because soccer, you know, unlike the NFL, which is primarily focused in the United States in terms of the teams, et cetera, we play in England and play in Mexico when the field is okay and elsewhere. But we wanted to make sure that we had a global span. So the firm we were working with had that ability to look at soccer executives throughout the world and not just here in Major League, you know, United States or North America, if you will. And so Darren had background in the United States, although he's from England. He had gone to school here, played here. He played also in Europe as well. And his wife was from the United States. So that all worked in our favor. And I spent 3 hours with him during the first interview. And, you know, as I, you know, jokingly have said more than once, I said I had him back for a second interview because I couldn't understand half what he said the first time. But he was clearly our choice because he understood as the world is flat, not just because Thomas Friedman said that some years ago in his book, but also because the world is flatter today. Certainly the world of soccer is truly flat and truly global. That we wanted to have somebody who would look at resources on a worldwide basis and not be limited to the United States or Canada, for that matter. And Darren and Carlos Bocanegra and other folks on the soccer side have done an incredible job. And the people who've developed these fan relationships, we brought them in early. They studied the market like Darren, understood why soccer was successful in Atlanta and the state of Georgia, and have been able to, you know, to tap into that energy and passion.
Arthur Blank, our guest here on Dukes and Bell, owner of R Atlanta United, playing for MLS Cup against Portland on Saturday night at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Arthur, were you ever hesitant thinking about Mercedes-Benz being a soccer venue? You know, you look around the country and you have all these soccer-specific stadiums. And then when we told people, well, our soccer team is going to play in our, you know, football stadium, which is our multi-purpose, you know, stadium, a lot of people looked at us, but yet here we are leading the league in attendance.
Well, I think that the reason for that call is that we never built our stadium to be designed just for the NFL. We designed it to have FIFA standard soccer regulations in terms of the pitch size, in terms of the sight lines from the seats down to the pitch, in terms of all the things that would be important for the soccer fans. So when they came into the building, whether it be on a Saturday or Wednesday or Thursday night, whatever the case may be, is that they saw a soccer-specific stadium and not an NFL stadium that had been converted. So when you're in the stadium Saturday night, you would never know the Falcons ever play there. And vice versa. When we play there on Sundays, it feels like an NFL stadium, like a Falcons stadium. So we made, you know, a lot of investments, tens of millions of dollars in design a stadium to make sure that we could accommodate FIFA-qualified events like World Cup, which we will host in Atlanta, or some of the games will host in Atlanta. And we wanted to make sure we did it from the outset. And I think the fans understood that, and they saw that, and they appreciated that.
It is Arthur Blank, the boss, talking about United. We'll be talking football at the end of the season with Arthur, guys, about the Falcons. Today we're talking about soccer because the championship is here. And, Arthur, I mean, this is part of your legacy. We talked about this back earlier in the fall, you know, between Mercedes-Benz and now bringing soccer and also the international side to it, because when the World Cup comes to North America, I mean, we're going to have a game, and it's all because of your vision.
Well, I would say it's because of the collective vision. I wouldn't say it's just because of my vision, Mike, but I appreciate that. And I think, you know, we've recruited some incredible, talented people on the soccer side, as we have, as you said earlier, in all of our businesses. And they've done a great job. They've brought in people that were equal to them. We gave them enough time so they could be thoughtful about their decision-making, do the research, be in touch with our fans who really are the owners of this franchise. I mean, I'm the steward for them. That's true with the Falcons. It's certainly true with Atlanta United. And they know we're making investments in everything that can make a difference, both in terms of their experience, whether it be food and beverage or how the stadium feels to them when they're in it, or the quality of the coaching staff, the quality of the players, the investments that we make in those players, et cetera. And so, you know, fans, they are brilliant. They understand that we have set no limits in terms of the successes, and we've set no limits in terms of the investments we've made to be able to achieve the successes that we have. The key now is to build it so it's a sustainable winning organization over a long period of time. To a great start.
No doubt. Year two, we're playing in the MLS Cup, and, you know, we're going to have Alexi Lawless on the show a little bit later, Arthur, and, you know, he's called us now the destination, and we are the place where everybody wants to be and come as far as soccer in the United States. I do want to ask you, because I know you're involved in so many different things, but these rumors that came out earlier in the week about the Premier League, are you at all interested in ownership elsewhere?
No, we're not. I mean, we think there's a lot of opportunities to expand the Atlanta United brand, both in Atlanta and for the league and for soccer throughout North America. We're exploring a number of those things, and that makes a lot more sense to us.
What about buying a franchise in the south of France, or then we can all win?
Mike, you're assuming that you would be over there. That's a really big jump of faith. I don't know. Yeah,
just throw it out.
How proud are you of Joseph Martinez, who wins the MVP for MLS?
Well, I'm very proud of Joseph. He's a great young player. He's a fine young man. He comes from a great family. He was here the other day. When he was speaking in Spanish, he got, you know, very emotional talking about his family, talking about seeing his grandfather there and his grandmother there and his aunt and baby and what have you. But I think and I said it to Joseph earlier, and Joseph would be the first to say it, is that his getting that recognition is a great recognition for the entire team, because the reason he's MVP is because he's surrounded by a great group of players that all play their role. And he has a role, obviously, as well as a striker, and has performed at a very high level. But without their surrounding him, he would not have the success that he's had. And that's a tribute to our coaching staff as well. You know, the best thing that a coaching staff can do is to but round blocks and round holes and square pegs and square holes. And I think that they've identified the talents of all of the players on our soccer team and have put them in the best positions to win, both individually in the case of Joseph and in terms of the team, in terms of Joseph and Miggy and others. So I'm very proud of him personally, but I'm really proud of us as an organization having the number one and number two, folks that really competed for that award this year.
So who's going to swing the hammer for the Golden Spike, Arthur? Are you going to take care of that business on Saturday?
I don't know. That's not my decision. I'm only the owner. I don't make those decisions. people that are smarter than me make those decisions.
Right.
I'm happy to support them in whatever they want to do.
Mr. Blank, you know we appreciate your time as always.
Thank you, we're fans,
and you know we support you. We're excited, man. We're going to be there. We're season ticket holders. Okay. We're going to be there cheering our guys on, so hopefully we get it done.
Thank you. Thank you both, Carl and Mike, and I also want to thank all of the fans that listen to you, and you guys have done an incredible job and not only supporting Atlanta United but supporting our football team as well and really, really supporting our baseball team and the Hawks. And so I enjoy listening to you. Your show, I do whenever I can. Whenever I'm driving, I always do, and I appreciate that. And I know our fans do as well.
You're never mad at us, are you?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not. I'm never mad, and I appreciate all the tough discussions and tough debate. And I think it's important to listen to those things because you guys know what you're talking about. At least Carl does.
I was going to say, wait a minute.
Mike, I'm sorry.
I've known Mr. Blank for nearly 20 years.
I love you, boss.
Happy holidays. We'll see you Saturday.
Okay. Yeah, guys, look forward to it. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Always fun catching. It's always going to get a little diggy in on me. That's kind of become the thing now on our show.
I love it, man. And listen, I like the fact that our owner is so in tune to what's going on. He's not blind to any of this stuff. He's paying attention, but more importantly, Mike, he's involved, and that's one of the reasons why. That Darren Hill story is interesting. It really is. That, they talked to him, they brought him back, they talked to him again. Darren's going to join the show tomorrow, guys, president of our Atlanta United. We got a lot of soccer guests. We'll be live at Buckhead tomorrow. Real quick, I do want to get you caught up on a story that we've been following. We talked a little bit about it at the top of the hour. Temple's Jeff Collins has emerged as the favorite, or at least the leading candidate right now, for the Georgia Tech football job.
Yeah, two seasons as the head man at Temple, 15-10, two winning seasons, by the way, for the Owls. And a guy that I've always wanted, somebody who's got a connection to Georgia Tech, and his comes under George O'Leary. He was a GA back in the day, and also some time when Chan was there. So a guy that's highly regarded as a defensive coordinator. I know that Florida fans are happy with his work. Also, he was at Miss State with Dan Mullen. But anyway, a dude that certainly can recruit, 47, connection to Conyers. So that's where he's from originally. See if he's going to be the guy. Because you mentioned earlier, Ken Wisenhunt has taken his name out.
Yeah, listen.
Of consideration.
We said this. Wisenhunt has an opportunity right now. Chargers are rolling. They're hot. Who knows what happens? But I think he's enjoying his job right now. And it's, Mike, we talk about it. Don't ruin happy, right? If you're happy, just to say, well, I want to do something different. And a lot of times these coaches jump ship when they don't think, it's necessarily the right decision, but they think, well, it's time for change. If your heart's not in it, you shouldn't do it. So I appreciate Wisenhunt saying, listen, I appreciate the interview, but I'm not really wanting this opportunity right now.
Hey, man, I'm going to get off a little early tonight, so you're in charge of the game winner. What you got?
Well, it's easy. With our guy, Joseph Martinez, right, winning the MLS MVP, who's the best player you ever saw with your own eyes? We got a chance to witness a ton of incredible goals this year watching Joseph win the MVP. The year Matt wins MVP, you got a chance to witness some incredible playmaking by our quarterback. Who's the best player you ever saw with your own eyes? That's tonight's game winner. 404-741-0929. Any sport, by the way. Any sport.
Hey, man, and for me, I hate to say it because I never really liked the guy, but Gretzky. I was always a Messier guy. Gretzky in person was pretty neat to see. Man.
Did you see a hat trick with him or?
Against the Rangers, of course. Also, guys, since I'm going to take up a little early, going to catch a flight, I just want to give a shout-out because I'm not going to get to do the game Clear Your Throat at the end of the night.
Yeah.
But you see the video of Ryan Shazier deadlifting as part of his therapy now? The Pittsburgh Steelers linebacker, obviously, we're all praying for serious spinal injury back in December last year. He's basically sitting here cranking more weight on a deadlift than you and I will ever touch this year.
Well, people thought he wouldn't walk again. And not only is he walking, but, again – the playing thing, that's far-fetched.
But you're having a bad day, check that out and get motivated.
But the idea that this guy is lifting weights is incredible. All right, guys, that's tonight's game winner. Best player you ever saw with your own eyes. 404-741-0929. It's next. Who's the best player you ever saw with your own eyes? I had a chance to see Michael Jordan in his prime cover the NBA. And I remember one night I asked him after a game how hard it was to average 30 points or 32 points at the time, 32 points a game, because he made it look so effortless and easy. And Michael Jordan looks at me and he says, it's only four baskets a quarter. And when you put it in that context, with him going to the free throw line a couple of times a quarter, a basket here, a basket there, you look up at the end of the night, he's got 36, he's got 38, and you're going, man, he made that look so easy. Obviously, one of the best players I ever saw with my own eyes. Every sport, any sport, guys, it doesn't matter. 404-741-0929, that is tonight's game winner. What's going on? Hey, man, talk to us. You're in the game. Well, check that. Hold on. Stand by. Let me push this button and fix this here. Obviously, Fricky must have been playing with this. Thank you, sir. You're in the game. What's going on, man? Welcome in.
Yes, sir.
Hey, man. Hey, man. Talk to me, Jeremiah.
Those are Claude Humphrey for the Atlanta Falcons. I know I'm an older guy. No, y'all don't make me look like a racist no more, man.
Come on. Yeah. We never do that. You are not a racist. Nobody has ever said that about you. You are not a racist, sir. You are a good-hearted American. Drinks on your porch with a shotgun. You're in the game. What's going on, man? Welcome in.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Man, I love you guys. I love this topic because you're making me realize tonight how blessed my life has been.
Mm.
I've seen Jordan. I've seen Gretzky with my own eyes. I've seen Aikman and Rice in Montana. But hands down for me,
okay,
when this man came to town, I hated it. Pete Rose was balls out.
Great take. Pete Rose, and again, I don't know where you are on this. I've always said I think he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I got a Pete Rose bat signed as well. Listen, Pete Rose played the game you wish every player played it the way Pete Rose did. Charlie Hustle was the real deal. Great take, man. I'm with you on that. No dispute whatsoever. It's our game winner, guys. Best player you ever saw with your own eyes. And maybe it's Joseph Martinez with what he did this year in MLS. If you got a chance to see a number of United games, or maybe you're a season ticket holder. Who is it for you, sir? Welcome in. What's going on?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
I am lucky enough to have attended the 1998 MAC Championship at Marshall University, where I got to watch Randy Moss go crazy in that game in the snow.
Wow.
That was one of the most memorable moments of my life. He had like 200 and something receiving yards, dragging people along with him, dancing in the snow and making him look like a man among boys.
Yeah, and now he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, obviously that was a precursor to what he was going to be in the National Football League. He said Randy Moss. Who is it for you, my man? You're in the game. What's going on?
I can't decide. It's either Reggie Jackson in Tiger Stadium or Desmond Howard in the Big House in Ann Arbor.
Ooh, Desmond Howard. The Heisman pose. I mean, that has lived in infamy, right? That particular highlight, he runs the punt back, and then the Heisman pose, and he ultimately, obviously, wins it. I'm with you on that, man. Desmond Howard was special. It's Dukes and Bell. Bell off a little bit early tonight. It's best player you have ever saw with your own eyes is our game winner. And it's in honor of Joseph Martinez because we got a chance to see some really special stuff with him this season with all the goals he scored. You're in the game, man. What is it for you?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, I saw this guy play two sports. Bo Jackson, saw him play baseball and football. But one other thing I saw that beat to that.
What's that?
I saw Jeremiah at Hillman College watching the Chief run against Huxtable in a track meet.
You know what? Now you're bringing Jeremiah into this conversation. Jeremiah just called and said, leave his name out of it. You're starting a beef with the guy you don't want to start a beef with. Bo Jackson. Some people say Bo Jackson was the best player ever that they ever saw. Like, running back, it doesn't matter. Best player they ever saw. What a dynamic baseball player he was. Obviously, career cut short in football, but, man, in the NFL, Bo Jackson was special. You're in the game. It's tonight's game winner. What's going on?
I got two of them. Number one is a couple years ago I had the chance to go watch Mike Trout play in Atlanta. And the other one is the Nature Boy, the dirtiest player in the game. Woo!
Yeah, I'm with you on that, man. If we're bringing in those guys, listen, there's a ton of those guys over the years that we saw that were great and dynamic. But he said Mike Trout, and Trout's still a young guy. I think we take for granted how good he has been since coming into Major League Baseball. You know, a phenom. When you're in the league at 18 or whatever it is, You're a phenom, man. It's like watching Ronald Acuna, guys. We are lucky to have a guy like Ronald Acuna on the Braves. You're in the game. Tonight's game winner, best player you ever saw with your own eyes. Who is it?
I would have to say I'm going to go on a little different route
okay.
here. People forget this. High school football player, Jeff Francoeur. Man among boys.
Yeah, didn't he get offered to Clemson, I think it was?
Absolutely. He was one of the top-rated safeties in the country.
Yeah.
6'5 guy who could run like a deer. He could have went anywhere he wanted to.
Frenchie, by the way, obviously now is going to be a part of the TV broadcast for the Braves. But, yeah, Frenchie could play football. And we've talked to him about this a couple of times. Obviously, he realized he was going to make some more money in baseball.
Boy, that guy flat out got offended when you didn't know that Jeff Francoeur had a scout one of the best safeties in the state.
No, listen, when guys are offered all over, I think Clemson comes to mind because he has said that's where he would have gone. I believe he told me that. He said that's where I would have gone to college if I wouldn't played football.
He's actually still a Clemson football fan.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I think he was, last time we saw him was at a Clemson watch party. It's Dukes and Bell. You're in the game. What's going on?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, man.
Best player I ever saw, Lionel Messi, in the World Cup in Brazil. That guy is from another planet.
You were there.
I was there, man. It was amazing.
Good stuff. Appreciate it. Not going to dispute that. He is one of the best players to ever wear a soccer uniform. A kit. Hey, man, you're in the game. No, you're not. He wasn't ready. All right, what is it for you, my man? Talk to me. Hey, man.
I think the best player I've ever seen play the game of golf was Tiger Woods. I went to the Tour Championship recently.
Yeah.
Seen him win. Oh, my gosh. Changed the game of golf forever.
Well, listen, the gallery was incredible here a couple of months back, and everybody was talking about it. And I don't know what kind of year Tiger's going to have next season, but you can't tell me that you're not intrigued by the way he's come back and played. And, the whole TV, made-for-TV thing with Phil, that was fun and something to do. Let's get down to it. We want to see Tiger win majors when it matters most, and I think he will be in contention to do that a couple of times this season. I think he is back. I think he's back from a health standpoint. It's Dukes and Bell. All right, a couple more, man. Best player you ever saw with your own eyes. Big shout-out to Joseph Martinez for winning the MLS MVP. We saw some special things with him. Who was it for you? That's you?
For me, it was...
Go ahead.
A young Shaq.
A young Shaq, not the out-of-shape Shaq. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I saw him play the Hawks when he was with the Magic at the Omni.
Yeah. Shaq came in the league. He was a force. Nobody could handle Shaquille. And I've said this. You go back to Shaq when he came into the league, he got fouled every play. Every time he touched the ball, you can't call it, but he was such a dominant force.
Remember they would fine him for breaking the rims?
Breaking the rims,
20
yeah.
grand every time.
What's up, y'all? What's up, big fella? Thank you guys so much for participating in our game winner. We'll